Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference of results for the second quarter of 2019 for Grupo Nutresa. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacon, Director of Investor Relations. Thank you all for being with us. After presenting the results for the second quarter of this year, we'll start the Q&A session. The questions we receive through the webcast will be read verbatim. Those who are connected to the conference in English, we appreciate it if you send your questions in through the chat option in the web chat. Those who ask questions, please remember to say your name and the institution you represent. Those who want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English in the webcast, you can download them from the platform screen. I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallegos, President of Grupo Nutresa, to start the presentation. Good morning. Thank you for being with us in this conference. To start with, I'd like you to see slide number 2, where we share some interesting events for the quarter. First of all, let's tell you that Grupo Nutresa was ratified as the second company with the best company to retain and attract talent in Colombia. It was the first place in the food sector according to Mercotalento 2019 ranking. This recognition challenges us to continue strengthening our practices that connect people into their jobs and with the organizational purposes, developing capabilities and motivating those who work with us to continue helping and contributing to the organization. At Nutresa, we are convinced that the commitment is built when we inspire and follow and assist our employees to develop. We also want to tell you that according to Fitch Rating, affirmed the ordinary bonds of Grupo Nutresa for 500 billion pesos as a AAA Colombia with a stable outlook. In the Fitch Ratings, this decision reflects the company's solid position in the relevant markets, their geographic diversification, and their sound credit profile. And we complete these events by going to slide number 3, where we can share some recent innovations with an emphasis on health and nutrition. As we said earlier, the well-being of our consumers is a pillar of Grupo Nutresa's strategy, and that is why we developed products and experiences that help contribute to healthy lifestyles and improve our consumers' quality of life. According to that, during the quarter, we will show you the following, such as quinoa, ancestral quinoa, which is grown by mothers, head of households in the Cauca region in Colombia, and it's part of our crop substitution program, creating job opportunities and building quality of life for the indigenous and peasants around the region. Another interesting product is the oat pancakes, carbon neutral, and we have a whole line of products called Kibo Foods. It's under that brand, developed based on highly nutritional plant origins like beans, soys, and peas. And they're going to start selling in the group's strategic markets, and that is what we created, a company, Kibo Foods, a headquarter in Texas. It's a company that is integrated with the innovation ecosystem in Austin and has a huge potential. After these three events, we go to slide number 4 to tell you about the sales for the second quarter of the year. In Colombia, during the second quarter, we had sales for 1,503,000,000 pesos with a growth of 5.8%, with a very good business dynamics, all the businesses show positive growth. I would highlight that most of this growth comes from 5% of volume increases. Prices grew 0.5%, mainly because of the changes in the product mix. We highlight the growth in pastas, consumer foods, confectionery, and ice cream, with the dynamics higher than the average for the group, and we reflect the good business activities that we had reported during the first quarter. Outside of Colombia, in international sales, we reported a growth of our main platforms overseas in their local currencies, and we had sales for $276.7 million, with a decrease of 1.9% in dollars and a growth of 12% in Colombian pesos. This decrease is mainly due to the rate of exchange due to devaluations in each country. That is why I was saying that the behavior in local currencies was positive. When we look at each business separately, we can see that PMLC in local currency had a growth of 2.7%. After we consider the effect of the devaluation of the Chilean peso vis-a-vis the dollar, this becomes a decrease of 6.8% in dollars. In biscuits, we had good operations in Central America and local currencies, also very good exports from Colombia, but because of the devaluation of currencies in Central America, the dollar result was minus 0.02%. In chocolates, we grow in international sales. Considering devaluation, this becomes a minus 1%. In coffee, a better sales dynamics, mainly due to very good recovery of exports from Colombia towards the U.S., it grows 6.7% in dollars. Also, in the consumer or retail market, we have good performance in local currencies, which becomes a growth of 4.9% in dollars, and in the cold cuts, we had a decrease of 12.8% in dollars because of lower dynamics in Panama, and especially because something that we had mentioned during the previous conference, which is a reduction in exports from Colombia due to restrictions to the atmosphere. We hope to have the country recertified in the next few months. When we combine this good performance both in Colombia and in international operations, we can see in slide number 5 that we have consolidated sales for the quarter for 2,400,000,000 pesos, with a very good growth, 8%, and with all businesses showing positive behaviors. I would highlight growth like pasta with 12.4%, biscuits like 11.9%, retail food with 11.8%, and coffee, which is very good. During this quarter, sales or innovation sales increased 21%, or were 21.4% of total sales. Innovation is shown here as a real driver for growth in the and is making the difference in many of these categories. If we go to slide number 6, we can see the accumulated sales at the end of the quarter, of the first quarter of 2019. In Colombia, we reported sales for the semester of 2,911,000,000,000 pesos, with a growth of 5.2%, with a positive growth, sustained growth. In the quarter, we must say that this growth is based on higher volumes, growing 4.2%, while the prices grow 0.9%. And below each of those bars, you see that all business units have grown in by value and by volume during the quarter or during the semester. As far as sales outside of Colombia, our international platforms, we had revenue for $544 million during the semester, representing a 0.6% decrease in dollars. In Colombian pesos, that growth is 12.2%, and it's 1,734,000,000 pesos. Similarly to what I was telling you about in the quarter, we have a positive performance in international operations in their functional currencies and good growth in exports from Colombia during this period, due to mainly the chocolate and coffee businesses. When we go to slide number seven, we see that as a result of a positive commercial dynamics both locally and internationally, we have accumulated sales for the semester of $4,646,000,000, with a growth of 7.4%. I'd like to point out the double-digit growth in the pasta, biscuits, and coffee businesses for the period, and very closely following the consumer retail food and chocolate business. The sales of innovative products during the semester represent 21.8% of the total sales. Going to slide eight, we can see sales by region accumulated at the end of June 2019. In Colombia, we have 72% of our sales. Outside of Colombia, 37.3%. Important to tell you that all geographies outside of Colombia are growing significantly in the U.S. and Central America. Although Colombia is a major market, the second market is Central America, we have 9.8% of the sales. The third is the U.S. with 8.5%, and the fourth is Chile with 8.2%. Here we've been making an effort based on our strategy so that Grupo Nutresa can have not only a portfolio of categories but also an adequate portfolio of geographies. And I think this is a very good quarter for the international activities. Going now to slide number nine, I'd like to share with you a summary of our position in the market. I would say that vis-a-vis this position in the market, we have significantly leadership positions in the categories we participate in with sound commercial strategies based on effective innovation with superior purpose brands and with a consistent work to develop channels. In general, we have the positions that we have in each of the categories, we have very heavy competition in everyone, but we believe that that competition forces us to be better, work harder, and get to know the consumer, the buyer, and the customer much better. And this motivates us to create differentiated and winning value propositions and to fight to get that consumer preference. Now, on the next slide, in slide number 10, let's look at the behavior of the inputs. The commodities index for Nutresa has an average which is lower than the previous years. This is because of lower international reference prices in the commodities such as oil, sugars, some proteins, and coffee. Here, I tell you that the local prices in these raw materials do not necessarily follow the same behavior, and that the devaluation of the currency vis-a-vis the dollar, as I said earlier, in sales, increase the final cost of some of these inputs. There are some mechanisms such as stabilization funds and price baskets reflect those prices locally. The most representative input in this pie is the packaging materials. It's about 15.5% of the total, and the most representative in the period are coffee, pork, and wheat. And specifically in pork, I'd like to say that we've been working significantly to manage the possible contingencies in prices, and many of you are aware that China, there's an episode of pork fever, which has led to the slaughter of a large portion of the pigs in that country, and that increases international prices. In our case, we're coordinating with hedging strategies for pork, strategies to cover the food for pigs, and in some local strategies, we have some cooperation with small farmers, and we provide small piglets with appropriate genetics, and we help them with technical assistance, and we facilitate their food. And lastly, we are working on the strategies to guarantee that design to value allows us to have possible impacts on the cost. I'd like to say that this year the coverage is working very well. This hedge, we're working, we're covering all of this very well. We're working on hedging for next year. About profitability, this will be José Domingo Penagos who will give you the information. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning to everyone. Based on, starting on slide number 11, we have the group's profits, the EBITDA, and its business units. First, generally, as of January 1st this year, our financial statements reflect the application of the new financial presentation standards, which modify the leases and contracts or agreements. We report the information pro forma so that you can compare the figures. And there is also this comparison to the percentages that can help us make the comparisons. First of all, we have an EBITDA for 328,000 million pesos with a growth of 23% with a margin of 13.7%. It's 190,000 million pesos with a margin of 12.1% and a growth of 9% compared to the same quarter in the previous year. By business units, I highlight in terms of size and margin the performance of retail foods, biscuits, pasta, and coffee. Most of them, you can see double-digit growth and performance above the group averages. And I will give you the details in a second, but there's very good numbers for the businesses during the period. By unit, starting with the cold cuts, we have improved sales in Colombia especially, which is our major market for this business unit. But the profit, it has three challenges. First, the export of fresh meat. Exports have been reduced because of sanitary issues. The business unit exports would have been exports to the same country as we had been exporting last year. And this will be improving when the phytosanitary issues are resolved. Carlos Ignacio made a good reference to that. What I could add is that the hedging, both physical or financial hedges, or hedges that allows us to have a certain margin. We are working on that for the next year that allows us to keep our profit margins for this business. As we have that group recover its volumes in Colombia, the profits will be recovering. That's where the cold cuts, the biscuits is a very significant percentage. Margin is 15.4%. The growth is 30%. I refer to this business in this area of good performance. The business results are good, Colombia and overseas. It's a well-balanced portfolio, 50-50, Colombia and internationally. And in this case, it comes from other geographies that gives us the benefits of the rate of exchange. But in the business side, it gives us a benefit in higher invoicing. We have a very good coverage. Raw materials is at the highest prices, mainly chocolate also. Good performance, significant margin, 13.4%. One of the businesses with above average performances. We've had some other market, maybe. And cocoa has very healthy coverage level. And we're a little longer in cocoa. This will be helping us in the rest of the year, probably the next year. And the challenge is the rate of exchange. This has very significant variations in dollars. The growth in margin, good business dynamics, and this is sound balance with respect to the financial issues. Then we have TMLC, where we have impact in some raw materials. In Chile, the devaluation has been more significant. It has an impact on the margin, and that's why we have this 11.6 that we see in the graph, and a decrease of 4%. Coffee has better business dynamics, especially internationally. Good growth, good performance, as we mentioned in biscuits and in dollars. They're practically go to the EBITDA, that rate of exchange has a good effect, but not only the rate of exchange, but also the business dynamics with overseas customers. We've had increased sales, especially in areas such as the U.S., and it also that helps the rate of exchange. Retail foods, also very significant. A growth of about 50%, margin of 13.6%. These are the figures, but behind that is the consistency in the strategy. We have a very strict discipline in modeling, especially we're opening facilities. The effect is can be seen in the transactions. And it's been growing very well in all chains. El Corral, especially in Central America and the Caribbean, ice cream also very good balance based on transactions, and it's helping us much more with the profit levels. Very good expenses management. We had a rearrangement of the portfolio that we mentioned in previous conferences. We have a series of initiatives that are beginning to give fruit, and that's why we have these significantly good numbers, especially in the growth of the EBITDA, which is, we have to look at the magnitude and not only the percentages. In ice creams, we have an expansion, a growth of 6.8%. In spite of that, we have some impact on the cost of those materials. The dairy, we're working on covering those products, but we can see the impact on profit levels. And lastly, pasta is higher than last year's margin. Good performance in Colombia, especially local growth, a very good expense management, both variable expenses and the consequences of fixed expenses due to the commercial performance. This is helping us in the business unit, and we have a very good performance in profit levels. That is the performance in detail of the business units during the quarter, and so as not to repeat this, because the same thing is very similar in the quarter and in the accumulated for the semester. I would only point out the magnitude is 574,000 million pesos, a margin of 12.3, a growth of 6.3%, and a good performance, especially in business like biscuits, chocolate, and retail food. Is very similar to the behavior of the quarter. So let's go to slide number 13, where we see the statement of results for the quarter. And it's grayed out column is the pro forma for comparison purposes. You can see operating revenue, which 8%. Good growth, and the cost increases slightly above the revenue. This is the effect of the rate of exchange. We have good cash coverage. We have to be very careful with this. We have about 30 base points for the accumulated figures in the expenses. We have growth, especially in administrative and operating expenses, 14%, 10%. What I'd like to tell you is that we have a one-time expenses, administrative technology. We're setting up some new technologies in some of operations overseas, and that it's a single time for the quarter or for the year, some fees, but it's not recurring expenses. In the future, this expenses would not be included. And the technology, expenses are indexed to the dollar, and that means that the expenses are higher. In administrative and operating expenses, we have to show the performance of the sales expense, which is the most significant in that area. They grow 6.1% below the increase in revenue. There's good control there. Thanks to the work we've been doing in this area. But the most important thing here, it's after gross profits, they grew at 7%. When we have that control of expenses, we had operating profits that grew at 14%. Very good performance, very much better than the growth of the same revenues. And that is the relevant details for expenses. We have some effects due to differences in rate of exchange, especially on working capital accounts, not very significant, and we have non-operating revenue of around 3,300 million pesos due to the sale of an asset, a piece of property in the U.S. Especially, a year and a half ago, we cut out the operations in some biscuits in the U.S. We sold the facilities during the period. That's why we have this extraordinary revenue. And these are also one-time income figures. Our effect on the P&L, we have operating income that grew 14%. This is a very good operating result. In the post-op results, we have financial expenses with very good consistency. They continue to decrease because of the decrease in rates, the decrease in debt level that has been going down. That the idea continues, that the trend continues. We have the comparison of the Grupo Argos. This was done during the second quarter. This is usually reflected in the second quarter.
There is some slight differences with this quarter, but we compare it with the pro forma value. It's only for comparison purposes. 1,400 million pesos revenue due to our net foreign exchange position. Last year we had income. We had covered some bonds that we had extraordinary revenue, also a single-time revenue, which is only used for the pro forma analysis. With this, we find that with our sales, we grew 14%, very much aligned with the growth in revenue. Without having into consideration the revenue from Grupo Argos, our growth will be 10.7% for a final equation for the quarter. We have net profits of 130 million pesos with a growth of 15.9%. That was the performance calculations that I was telling you about, and the effect of the dividends from Grupo Argos are very much aligned with the operating profits, and that part of the growth in revenue, and is the first and the last two lines in the P&L. For the semester, we have very structured, very sound trend in the various levels, but we have more general trends because this is this shows a gradual improvement. I mentioned earlier the contraction of the 30 base points in the gross margin. We have the same behavior, although the growth is different in expenses. There's a very good sound growth of 11.8%, 447,000 million pesos in operating profits. In post-operative, the same performance. Some have specific values, but we are calculating the both quarters. It's more extraordinary items in the second quarter than in the first, and which I already mentioned, such as covering the bonds in Peru, some issues in foreign exchange differences. I was referring to group profit here, 289 million pesos, good control of financial expenses, a very good, very competitive tax rate, which allows us to show these results. And in slide number 15, we can show you the debt level or the characteristics of our group debt. First, the peso equivalent is 2.6 billion pesos. Colombian pesos is the level of the debt in the group. We have 2.2 times the EBITDA. We're using the cash flow to leverage the group. This debt is mainly in local currencies, very low or almost nil exposure in dollars. This is a variable structure, and we have to finance the working capital and the funding for the purchases we made lately. The total cost is 6.27%, and we believe that is a very competitive level for the market. The first quarter, especially the second quarter, is a little more intensive in working capital use, especially for some expenses, the taxes and such. And I mentioned working capital because we did some physical coverage activities that allows to show the good profit levels and good cash flow management. The second quarter is going to be less intensive in working capital, so that will improve our cash flow management. The CapEx that we have committed of 276,000 million pesos, we are up so far 71 million pesos, which is the curve that varies according to the level of execution. Although we have a little less that we have forecast for the first semester. I'll give the floor now to Carlos Ignacio, which will share his outlook for the rest of 2019, and then we'll go to the Q&A. Thank you, Jose Domingo. So, with respect to the outlook, I'd like to refer first to the commercial part. In Colombia, we have a sustained good dynamics based mostly on volume growth. With respect to prices, I think that we're going to continue with very little price increases locally. We will do that very focused and only in some categories where the brands and the channels will allow us to continue growing. But Colombia, I would summarize, it has a good business dynamics. Outside of Colombia, we forecast sound local performances where we continue to see the effect of cross rates of exchange, but I think we have sound local performances. In general, what we can see for the next few months is good commercial performance with a significant effect from innovation and channel development. That, in terms of commercial, with respect to profits, without ignoring that pressure by rate of exchange and the behavior of the commodities, our efficiency and productivity programs that we have been applying and are ongoing will enable us to achieve sustained profits and returns at a very good level. So, in general, this is a favorable outlook, both commercially and in terms of profits. I'll give the floor now to Catherine so that we can go now through the question and answer session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll start the question and answer session. I will start with two questions by Juan Carlos Alvarez from Credit Alicor. The first one, can you tell us what improvements are there in the debt profile of the company and PSN of 2.25 times over the EBITDA? Do we have a space to increase our debt? How are we doing with this inorganic growth strategy? I'll answer the first and Carlos will take the second one. The debt profile, I also mentioned the cost, the variable structure. I would say with respect to the opportunities with the profile of the average life, which is approximately 3 years, especially because we have more working capital as part of the debt and less in capital for debts, for acquisitions. As we see some opportunities to purchase something in the future, we'll do that, taking very good care of the cost and the cost of the loans. Juan Carlos, first of all, thank you for your question. And I'd like to say that obviously we have room and we're working very hard in that inorganic part. In the previous conference, we've mentioned about the acquisition of Atlantic Food Service, which is still being analyzed by the Fair Trade authorities. We also shared the venture strategy, where we're also being active, looking for capacity, especially with respect to productivity, go-to-market, and nutrition and health. And lastly, we have the other purchases that are within the strategic region and which complement our existing capacity or that give us access to important growth in terms of growth and profits. We are very active in one of the most intensive periods, and you and the investors in the market, I can only tell you after we close the business, but there is room where we are working, and as we show good organic growth, we will have good performance in the inorganic growth. I do want to assure you that we are not going to do any bad business just to show growth in the first line. We're only going after acquisitions that will give value for the organization, for the shareholders, and as they come out, the cash flow that comes in, we will decrease our debt levels as we have been doing. So we are a very judicious program, and we go after goodbyes. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Now we start the questions that we have through the audio of the teleconference through Hilda. Hilda, can you help us to go with your next question? Those of you who have any questions, please press star and one in your phones. If you are having a loudspeaker, please mute before you ask your question. If you have any questions, please push star and one in your phones. We have a question, Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Good morning, everyone. Carlos Ignacio, and thank you for your presentation. I have several questions. First, I think that we... Can you tell us a bit more, Carlos Ignacio, about the business dynamics that you mentioned at the end of the presentation for Colombia? We are seeing that in this first quarter, the business dynamics has been very good for you. But in the figures we've seen, perhaps do not support the continued dynamics. We have unemployment. We are reviewing revising our economic growth figures. So how do you reconcile that view with the current economic reality in Colombia? Can you tell us a little bit more about the strategy for hedging our rate of exchange, which had, you know, very good effect in income, but also had a negative effect on the cost. Perhaps it was more of a negative effect of the rate of exchange. And at least if we continue with a rate of exchange that is stable, we're going to have pretty significant devaluation. Do you have any strategy? Do you have any dollars? What can you do to mitigate the effect of rate of exchange? And lastly, simply the innovative products. I think that they are more represented, increasingly more representative in our sales. Can you tell us about their performance vis-a-vis the general products for the group? Thank you, Federico, for your questions. I will refer to the first and the third one, and I'll let José Domingo talk about the rate of exchange. With respect to the commercial dynamics, I'd like to start by talking about two references that we have for consumer purchases in Colombia. First, the Consumer Confidence Index, which clearly is an indicator that measures people's opinion, consumers' opinion, and their expectations vis-a-vis consumption. That is an indicator that is not a real but expenses, but rather the willingness to spend. As you mentioned, that indicator in June was minus 6.3%, which is far from a positive value from 15.5% that we had for 2018. The expectations by the consumer, that consumer confidence index is made up by other two indices, economic conditions and consumer expectations. When you look at the consumer expectations, which is at minus 5% in June, internally you have asked three questions, and one of them has to do with what you think about whether your home will be doing economically better a year from now. And still the index is positive. So these are environments that look pessimistic, but which are not necessarily reflected in the real expenditure. The index for our economic conditions does show a more negative outlook. We must say that the economy moves not only because of real facts, but by what you think is going to happen, and sometimes even with things that have to do with sports events like the Cup of the Americas or what happens with a huge triumph in cycling, changes people's perceptions. So I understand that the consumer willingness to spend is less good than last year, but when you go to the other indicator, which is the one that calculated by radar, which shows you how you think your home is going to be doing, their indicator says that in June the expenditures were 5.8% higher than last year, and that there are three segments that were above the dynamics, which were food, entertainment, and miscellaneous or sundries. And so the general behavior of the economy, you have to be careful, because people might abstain from major investments. For example, it's true that purchasing housing is not going to be at the same speed, especially that is, it is not low-income housing. But in food, there is a positive outlook. Inflation is controlled. We believe that the country is growing between 3 and 3.5%, which is higher than other countries in our same region. Unemployment is a risk. We do not ignore that. But food consumption, is growing. So that is one outlook. The second is the innovation leverages, to which I will refer because of your question. And channel development leverages are extremely important for Grupo Nutresa. We have said, and I am referring to channel development, we've said that Nutresa, we see that all actors in the market, we look at them with great respect in all channels. And in some of the channels that previously might have been seen as a threat are also being a source of growth. Let me give you an example. The discounters, which have a significant part of the market, and where we have the fewer brands playing, we're not in all categories selling through the discounters, but where we do, we have significant profits for them, and we grow. Secondly, distribution, where more than half of our sales in Nutresa come from what we call traditional channels, that channel where we have corner stores that are growing, mini markets, independent mini markets that are growing also. In that area, the wholesalers have been reinventing themselves. Our sales through major chains have been growing, and in those major chains we have different formats. Perhaps the most important is the large hypermarket, but the other presentations are growing. And in the other area, which we call other channels, you can see we have very good growth, especially in restaurants, in catalog sales, in vending machines. So if you combine massive consumption expenses that are growing, although people seem pessimistic, they're still consuming, and we're playing aggressively in all channels, that explains a large part of that growth. Why do we get that? We get that through innovation. So first, before I discussion item by item, I'll tell you that innovation is not only products. Innovation is a business model. Innovation is also a way to reach the consumer in different manners. Innovation has to do with reformulating products to make them more adequate to our nutritional profile that each of the people want. And if you ask me, it would be a very long answer, but I will talk to you about two things. First, in general, about methods that we believe are great potentials. In the cold cuts, the entire meat analog segment, well, like veggie burgers and et cetera, we're seeing that is very positive. Chocolates, the entire nuts, chocolisto, bourbonnet, coffee, all developments were done globally for cold brews. In TMLUC, the nuts and with grains and chocolate bars in Chile. In ice cream, the entire strengthening about the Cremelado brand, that we're redesigning that in the Tosh ice cream with a health profile, the brand development and the quinoa developed in pasta. In retail foods, the developments for new burgers, wings, hot dogs and chicken. If I go to sales in specific areas, what we've done in cold cuts by reducing the sodium, by cold cuts and nitrates with biscuits with new festival, new presentations and chocolates, where we have done great things with the team so that we can facilitate consumption in homemade ice cream. It's a very long list. Each one of those innovations is measured not only by what it contributes to sales, but because of their profit levels, because it's not enough just to sell for the sake of it. It has to do with increasing current sales, but also opening new roads for the future. That is one of the answers. I went a little long, but I wanted to give you a general idea of why we're selling what we are selling locally. I'll leave Jose Domingo for the next comment. With respect to the rates, conceptually, although remember the general equation, not by business units, we do not speculate. We have a quasi-natural coverage in revenue in dollars, then for our size of the group is not very high, but it's $300 million, and that position is what we use to cover in our financial markets. And if you ask me what we're going to be doing in future, the answer is going to be consistency. We're not going to react excessively. The quarter is 14, and the impact was only 20 or 30 base points. All the coverage are for the P&L, but we're focused on cost. So in the general equation, although it has good behavior, we're going to be consistent in our coverage strategies, always looking for optimization, but we will not be changing a lot. We have an expansion of gross margin significantly over the past few years, but this year is a year to protect that variable. We have very slight decrease compared to the devaluations we've had. Thank you. Very complete answer. We have a question from Andres Soto from Santander. Thank you for your presentation. Well, this has to do with the leverage level. We have a level of 2.25 and the acquisitions we've made. My first impression was that there was a room to increase our dividend distribution, but because of the answer to this first question, there's other priorities. Do you have any idea of the order of magnitude of these new acquisitions and what is the average leveraging level that you would like to keep?
Thank you, Andres. Each of the targets has leads to different financing strategies. I cannot giving you details about the order of magnitude, but the dreams we have are in different sizes, in different categories and regions. Obviously, when you have plans to grow, provided you keep within those responsible limits, we are responsible to make this business grow profitably and to manage it as in an orthodox manner, as always. The Fitch Risk Rating Agency, we want to maintain our current rating, and for that, we would be having net to be not higher than 3 all the time, although we might go, if we needed to, we could go a little higher with our deleveraging level. So the answer is we want to maintain our rating. We want to, we have different alternatives in mind. When you look for them, and then our priority would be to decrease our debt level. Obviously, we're interested in good dividends, but that is not incompatible with doing this management. So we're going to continue to work for opportunities. And thank you for your question. Thank you for the answer. And now, I'd like to understand, in the previous conference we mentioned about the EBITDA margin had lost a little relevance with the respect to the change in standards. And now you'll be more focused on return on capital. Do you have any advances? Or can we have new metrics for the long term, what you're thinking for the company? The EBITDA that we're evaluating more complete outlook, the return on invested capital, I think we're also, our cash flow should produce some results. We've had some very good EBITDA levels, CapEx improvements, and improved working capital. We're working on our long-term goals for the company, and I think that next year we will be give you an idea of what our long-term goals. We want to have our goals, which is revenue higher than the cost of capital. Thank you, Jose Domingos. Thank you, Andres. A question from Daniel Guardiola. I have a couple of questions. I'd like to understand the drivers about the growth in volume region by region. If you look at Colombia, we have an interesting volume growth. How much was that driven by prices or by and higher demand? And also internationally, which countries do you see decreasing volumes, and what steps are you taking to counteract that dynamics? That's my first question. And the other one is, you had answered that one of the, you were reviewing perhaps any investments as long as they created value. What does value creation mean to you? Price, whatever you have in mind, any growth, geographic location, what? Thank you, Daniel, for your questions. This question is very long. We obviously will not disclose during this conference. There are a lot of categories with a lot of strategies with many combinations or permutations. That would be a long reply. I'd like to talk about Colombia right now. We did some work several years ago updating all our price demand elasticity models by SKU, by channel, and by geography. And in a market like the Colombian market, which has a lot of channels at the same time, those models are fine-tuned and fed back every day and show you every geography, each channel, and each category, how the volumes change when prices are touched. Our strategy is to have the best price so that the impact on volumes is the best for the company. That doesn't depend only on what Grupo Nutresa does, because we are in markets where with the free competition, and it's, and we also consider different scenarios considering the competitors' replies or responses. So what we've done is not something that we haven't touched any prices. We haven't mentioned, we mentioned some prices. And what we've done is report the average behavior of the prices. And what we report has to do more with the change in the mix. The only source of profits is not price increases. The most powerful is the productivity. And that is why mostly the results that we're showing also come from implementing improvement programs. So the increases you're seeing or the in sales have to do with a combined implementation of all these strategies. That is why in the market, what you as analysts might do is also to compare how other mass consumption actors are growing. And you see that those are, our growths are different from other players during the same periods. So this growth is the result of the strategy we're implementing. Obviously, every day we have a critical look and we have to want to do it better. And that's why we do not give up any channel, that we have a fewer brands but more powerful. That's why we want to know better the consumer, the buyer, the purchaser, and to have offers for each. Innovation complements this issue, and that is why we have, in our case, more than 21% of our sales come from innovation. I would be very glad our director of investor relations can talk to you geography by geography. You didn't ask me this directly, but if you were to ask, what is the geography with the biggest challenges for Grupo Nutresa in the future, I would say perhaps Mexico forces us to be very careful. Mexico, however, is a moderate percentage of our Grupo Nutresa sales. I think the slide shows Mexico's share in our international sales. You can see that there. Why would I call your attention to Mexico? The projections for who said that Mexico is going to have a growth of about 8.8%, and there's a recent contraction. So we depend on Mexico, but it is a geography that is pretty much in our sights. Catherine can give you more details. I think that's one of the things that you show you all analysts, and we'll expand that with you. Jose Domingo would like to complement that question. An easy way to do this is that our revenue is higher than the cost of capital. But the financial results are a consequence of management. We have an equation that we've shared with you some times previously. We have a geography, defined geography for everything within the organic and inorganic growth, in south of the U.S. to the south of the continent, we have type of companies to add to our portfolio, some capabilities to add in the categories where we are, and the curves for generating those returns. We have done a major effort to establish some platforms. When we're going to grow to a country to establish a platform, those returns take about 10 years to appear. When you have that already established, you can have returns earlier, sooner. So our best returns from invested capital, we're generating value. But this is a consequence of strategy for the type of geography and the type of company that we want to purchase. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Next question from Felipe Sucre from Scotiabank. Thank you for our questions. Simple question. You spoke about administration expenses and other non-recurrent expenses. Can you give us a little bit more details which were non-recurrent, or what would the growth have been like if those non-recurrent had not occurred? Where did you grow especially well in coffee and retail foods? Can you go more into detail in those specific things? Thank you, Felipe, for being with us. I'll take the question you asked about biscuits and consumer food. Let's talk about biscuits first. From the strategic point of view, this is a unit that sells practically the same outside of Colombia than inside Colombia. And when you combine that geographic distribution, outside of Colombia is mainly in the U.S. and in Central America. When you take this, then I would say that you benefit from the dollar at the levels that we had in the period, so the revenue increased significantly. But I'd like to isolate the effect of the dollar, and I'd say that the not only a biscuit company, it is very much going into the health snacks segment. As percentage of sales is still not very representative in a company of this size, but which is a good part of the future. We have a very good commercial outlook. The growth of biscuits in Colombia was spectacular, and in lines that are very leading, such as Sartines and Ducales, had very, very important recoveries, and other lines that are other younger sectors, such as Festival, will behave very well. In Central America, we're also leaders in biscuits, was also good, and in the U.S. has been growing in an interesting manner. The fact that Kibo Foods, which is a new company that we set up in the U.S., it's like a signal of where we think that there's room to grow more with those innovations. We have a good business performance. We had also a very good coverage strategy in wheat and very important productivity programs that we've been implementing during the period. Even biscuits was the biggest business in Nutresa. It sold more than cold cuts. It's a very active, very dynamic group, very strong brands, and which had the benefit of a very good commercial activity with a good dollar and with significant coverage in most of its important raw materials. With retail foods, I'd like to refer to this unit, includes the ice cream and restaurants in Colombia, so that in the ice cream shops of the Dominican Republic and the Caribbean is still very, very solid, very good, growing double digits. and high profit levels, and we have a very important development of the experience, not only the product. And there are Caribbean geographies where the brand is an icon, and where we are innovating, and we're being very well received and perceived by the consumers. In Central America, I would say that there is a slight recovery. Remember that we mentioned earlier, we had some months where we had, you know, very slow, and we had an evolution, mainly due to productivity. We've been recovering our levels. Commercially, we still have room to grow, and in Colombia, we have a combination. First, the restaurant business has a constant cycle of openings, but also of closures. Remember that we mentioned that in the previous conference that we had gotten out of two chains to focus on our own brands. That worked well. On the other hand, the productivity strategies are bearing fruit. As we, José Domingo mentioned, openings have been very well received, and we have led to a significant number of transactions, an increase in transactions. The strategy of keeping premium value products while going into a restaurants in different levels, even when there are events, we promote some of the events that we participated, and we sell more in those events. So I think that continuing with the consistent application of that strategy, I think we have to continue, we have to consolidate that, but we're very happy because we are seeing results. There's a big work being done on people, especially in Colombia. Those human aspects are much sounder in the ice cream shops, who have been working to reduce personnel turnover. We have a very committed team, and that is always noticed in service and quality. So that is the comment that I can make about biscuits and consumer food and retail foods. And about administrative expenses, José Domingo, of course, the answer is half of that growth is for non-recurrent expenses. The pro forma growth is 7% in those expenses in Colombian pesos. It's about 7,000 million Colombian pesos, and it's mainly fees, the technology, platforms, expenses that we have during 2019, but will not recur. That's very clear. Can I ask you a follow-up on that, especially about the cable? You explained that you started in the U.S., and obviously this is a market where we have a lot of movement in vegetable protein. Have you seen anything that in the Latin American markets, what is the possibility of you implementing that in Latin America? Thank you. Let me take that question too. Although the company Kibo Foods is headquartered in the U.S., we are already selling that in Colombia. Already, and in general, I include veggie burgers. So there's very good reception. The consumer usually doesn't give up the other ways of the other forms of protein. It's like a new category that is being created. Initially, that new category has higher sales prices than traditional protein, but it's really appreciated. People value the fact that this alternative is being offered to them, and it's more people consume animal protein, and sometimes during the week, but at others they decide they want to have other types of protein. We believe that it's important to be there because that is going to continue to develop. In general, the reception has been very good. The channels are not the most generous with their spaces, and they're more specialized areas, but the idea is to be there also. So it's been, the proposal has been very well received, and what we have in the cold cuts and what we have in the other proteins is good. It was still a small percentage of total sales, but the consumer has received it very well. Very clear. Thank you very much. Thank you, Felipe. Question from Carlos Rodriguez. Thank you for your presentation. A question about the commodities index, and I think at the minimal levels, what are your outlooks? Do you think that in terms of coverage, could you be a little more aggressive in that hedging or coverage for the commodities? Thank you, Carlos, for your question. It's very good that index mentioned that we mentioned that in dollars. I was saying that it is not always those good behaviors are due locally because there are some hedging instruments that affect that, but you're very right. It's when you see that indices are at these low levels, you tend as far as possible to get more coverage without getting tied down, because you might have 100%, and there are some levels that could be that could go down. What we've done in specific cases, like what you see in pork and in wheat, is to extend those coverage. We believe that it is likely for a rebound in that index, but we're well covered. We're pretty well covered, and remember that we combine in several of those categories, we combine that with the possibility of physical inventories where we have local production. So we've considered it, we've extended that as far as possible without being tied down so as we don't lose our advantage, and being careful because there are specific topics or situations that can happen. For example, although pork is costly right now for some reason because of frictions between China and pork, there's an excess of inventory in the States. They cannot ship. To China, they have to sell off that excess, and that would reduce our prices. So it's something of a new strategy. We have a commodities team that is working 24/7, and we're always looking at the commodities activity as the coverage for risk. We don't play roulette there, because if you are careless, you can have very long negative turns, long-term negative results. But your comment is very good, and we're not going to waste any opportunities. Allow me to ask another question about this new trend for vegetable protein. Is the possibility of extending this to other areas such as retail foods? Yes, Carlos, in some of our formats that we already have options, which are not necessarily analogous products of sophisticated formulation. In many cases, there are some vegetable products that completely substitute part of the food. For example, I can have bread of champignon or mushroom replacing meat. Or we have a dish where quinoa is a main dish in tofu. So we use that as an accompaniment. It's not, most of the restaurant tickets are not, you know, people are not dining alone. It's a group who go there, and it's likely that somebody would be in that group who wants a different type of protein. And the idea is to have that option available to all consumers. This is a possibility. The What we have clear is that the studies around the world, most consumers of alternative proteins do not give up animal protein. They consume that at different times, but there is an opportunity. Thank you for your answers. We have no further questions. Thank you very much. We have one last question here from Juan Felipe Agudelo from Alianza Fiduciaria. Could you tell us a little bit about the labeling law in Colombia and what do you think about that risk? Thank you, Felipe. I will talk about that now. At Grupo Nutresa, we believe that the regulation that has to do with labeling is important. We have, we're not going to be opposing that at all. We believe that this should be based in scientific reasons. It should provide adequate information, especially about the content of health-related nutrients, those that are most usual are sodium, fats, and sugars. Contents in previous legislation, we had a proposal or a bill before Congress that was not approved. What we understand is in this new bill, we're going to subject them in this legislature, and our position, what we've been working on, is from the Chamber of Commerce of the National Association of Entrepreneurs in Colombia is to go to a labeling system that was a GDA like to what is similar to what is used in the States, which shows you the contents of each of those nutrients associated to or health. Obviously, this is something that where the Ministry of Health has a lot to do. We believe that it's very important for the consumers to be properly informed so that they can make decisions about their nutrition. Health is the result of the combination of several factors, family life, contact with nature, the benefits that you have, and the exercise that you have in a balanced diet. And we're going to be working from our trade associations to make that regulation as appropriate as possible. This, how do we solve the risk? I think that is at the same time a risk and an opportunity. We've been working on all the categories to improve our nutritional profile and to make sure that the consumer can compare our products with others. It's a major opportunity because we have products with excellent levels compared to many other competitors, even globally. So that is the current status of things. We're going to have that discussion, and what we want is to have that done on a scientific basis and to do that to benefit all the consumers. And regulation is not only about labeling, it also has to do with the advertising, especially for the respect for children, and we see that with very good eyes, and we've been applying that already voluntarily in our categories. That is the answer I have for you. Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for your participation. This concludes the conference of results for the second quarter of 2019. Any further questions or concerns, you can send it to the Investor Relations Directorate. Thank you all and have a good day. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.